Lord just laid something on my heart while I was sitting down there praying, and I figured I better get on it real quick. So bear with me just a second here. I just want to check something. Okay. All right. It's good to be back up here tonight with everybody. And Brother James, you need me to put on a lapel? Okay. Let's see if I can. I don't have one under here. All I've got is the pastor's mic. I don't know. I'll try to get this on. I don't know if it'll work or not. It's good to be back here with you tonight. I've not been back up in this pulpit in quite a while, but it's a blessing to be back up here with you. And I was thrilled when Pastor Wynn asked me to come back and just do service Wednesday night. I was kind of, I wouldn't say shocked, but I was just tickled to be here with y'all. And it's a blessing to be back up here in this pulpit. Good to be back with you. I know we don't get to be back here with you much. Bible school, I've had some people say during Bible school, it's just like old times. And it is. And I do miss y'all. I really do. But you know that we've got a great work out there to do for our young people, what God's called us into, amen? And he's blessed us in so many ways since we stepped out on faith at the in December a year ago. We stepped out on faith, didn't have, or still don't have our full support, but we stepped out on faith, and God has just blessed us with open doors that only he could provide. Now, I will say this, that we are still in need of teachers, okay? We're in need to train people to go into the classrooms with us and teach. That is a very huge need right now. We've got so many school doors open that we can't get to them as fast as they're opening. So we ask that as a specific prayer for the churches that we go into, that God would supply us with of the teacher help that we need in the classrooms. And brother, I can't get this to work. It's just sliding off my ear. It works for the pastor, but I can't get it to work for me. Is the lapel mic back there on top of your? All right, that works for me. But we do ask that that be a prayer of the churches, that you would provide the prayer for us with the laborers going into the schools. And like I said, we've got so much time in the schools right now that we can't get to any other schools. We need teacher help in the schools. But the ministry is just going wide open. People ask us, what are you going to do during the summer? Well, we're still teaching. God opened the door over at Mountain Youth Academy over in Mountain City. And we're over there teaching. If you don't know that, it's a trauma rehabilitation facility for our young people, okay? All the way from, they've got them from as young as, I believe, first and second grade up through senior in high school. And we're doing that every other week this summer. We're still over there with them. We've got our national conference. It's going to be a week long in Bel Air, Maryland. We've got a week that we're going to be spending down at the Department of Juvenile Justice in South Carolina, working with the young people down there that are incarcerated in South Carolina at the Juvenile Justice Center. We've been doing Bible schools for the first part of June, and we're going to be working on a series of, we're making little coloring books to give our young people in kindergarten and first grade that go along with their CHIP lessons, okay? Now, you say, well, that's no big deal, you're making coloring books. Well, I'm the one that God put it on my heart to draw all the characters for these books, okay? So the way I look at it, I've got 190 pages of characters to draw for this. I figure it's going to take me, at a bare minimum, 38 days to do this, okay? And I've only got 4 books done right now, so my time in the summertime is drawing shorter. So I desire your prayers about that, and you're like, what's up with the coloring books? With our lessons, our teachers have asked us to leave the young people with something that they can remind them during the week what we taught them when we visited them, okay? With the coloring books, they're going to be 9 pages long, which gives them a day to color for every day of school that they are without us, that we're not there, because we go to see them every 2 weeks. So this will give them a page to work on. They can reflect upon the lesson that we taught them until the next time that we come in there with them. So that's what the teachers have asked. They've also asked that they be able to take these books home and share them with their family. Amen. That they can take these principles that we're teaching them and share them with their families. So that was a blessing. But that is what Ms. Conrad and I have taken on for our huge summer project, is all that drawing. But the ministry is just wide open. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your financial support. We couldn't do it without you. We really couldn't. And we thank you for all the B-Bucks that you're providing and the change for change. It's all just such a blessing. Here in Watauga County, when all these B-Bucks started coming in, the very first time we hadn't been able to collect B-Bucks for like the first year we were in the ministry. Nothing came in at all. And just out of the blue, all of a sudden, we started getting B-dollars, okay? I told Sharon, I looked at her and I said, hang on. There's going to be a Bible club open somewhere, because we just started getting the funding that we needed to provide the T-shirts, to provide the Bibles for our students in these Bible clubs in the schools. And sure enough, our very first Bible club opened up at Bethel School. Okay, now, all of a sudden, I don't know who started all where all this came from. Well, that was just the Lord that laid it on somebody's heart, but all of a sudden, we're getting B-dollars in like crazy now. I mean, tenfold what we had the very first time with our first Bible club. And I looked at Mrs. Conrad and I said, you know what this means? She's like, something big's getting ready to happen. I said, you're telling me. I said, I don't know what it is, but we're just going to praise the Lord for it. Amen. What's been happening since then is that since Bethel has got a Bible club, we all of a sudden were working with the principal out in an elementary school over in Avery County. Avery County's just exploding. We've got volunteers coming in, working in the schools, out of the churches, and all of a sudden now the students are starting to go to those churches. The teachers are starting to go to those churches. It's the way that the ministry is designed to work. But out of this, there's also going to be a Bible club started over there this coming fall, okay? Now, while this is happening right here in Watauga County, is also, we get a call from Cove Creek School. We want a Bible club. So we're working with the principal out there. We've got everything set up. We've got the teachers in place. I just got to have one meeting with the principal, and we're going to go ahead and say that, Lord willing, we're going to have a Bible club out at Cove Creek School this coming fall. Did I say Mabel again? I said Cove Creek. I got it right this time. Okay, I keep slipping up and saying Mabel. So there's going to be one there before long. And also, I had a call from Parkway School, but they're going through a transition with a new principal. Their principal resigned in June. So I feel there's going to be a Bible club started at Parkway School, but I'm just going to wait until this principal gets settled in, okay? And then let the young people go to him or her and say we want a Bible club and let it work. It's got to be student initiated, okay? I just can't go in there and blast them and say, praise God, we want a Bible club. It don't work that way, okay? It's got to be student initiated. So we'll talk more about that with our young people at the Youth Challenge Day. And we've already been promoting it throughout our young people. Say, go talk to your principal. Tell them you want a Bible club. And by law, they pretty much, if they've got any other clubs in the school, they have to let them have a Bible club. So it's just a blessing that this is going on in our own county. When we thought the school doors were closed and we've been praying, God, please let something happen in our own county. We didn't see the Bible clubs coming, okay? I got one of those nice surprises from God on that one, okay, that God's just opening up Bible clubs all over the place. I wanted a character under construction back into schools. He's just said, you know what, we'll just give you Bible clubs. And we've already had Brother Daniel at Antioch. He's the leader director of the one at Bethel. Brother David Ward said, I've already told God that if he opened the door at Cove Creek that I was going to be there and be there for them. So he's going to be the leader director of that. I'm thinking working with Brother Andy Watson of Vanderpool right there. Pray for us that the rest of the schools that open up, that we can find good godly churches to be the leader directors of them. But God's just doing wonderful works in this ministry. Still seeing a lot of souls saved. Last year, 303 souls saved in this ministry throughout the 16 states and the 7 countries that it's working in across our globe. But the 16 states in the United States here is just a blessing. Brother John Vincent just went west of the Mississippi to work this past year. He moved there just a little while ago, and this is the first missionary through the prison prevention that's been west of the Mississippi, and schools are opening up out there, so expecting more schools to open up out west, and it's just going all over the place. New York, Florida, all places in between, just a blessing. Okay, God's really, really blessing us in this ministry. So I thank you for everything that you're doing in for us in this ministry, your prayer support. We thank the Lord every morning when Miss Sharon and I have our family altar and a time of prayer that we just thank God for y'all that are seeking the Lord's face and praying for us, because we need that. We really do need that. We need God's hand of protection in these schools. Mountain Youth Academy, I love them young as to death, but there's sometimes you can just feel an evil spirit in that place. And I pray God's hand of protection be over us in this. And as we're just traveling, I mean, we travel so many miles throughout a week's time. We were counting up before we ended up this year in the schools that were, every month we're in front of 2,000 students. And I was like, praise the Lord. 2,000 young people were in front of a month in this ministry, teaching them Bible principles and preaching to them in the Yes Clubs. And I'm like, what a blessing that is. And it's all, it's with your help. It's with your help, both prayer, help, and financial support. But we just thank you so much for that. I do miss y'all, church. I really do. It would be so easy for me just to come back here and just be with you all the time. But I know that I wouldn't want what the Lord would bring upon that for me doing that, because he did tell us to go. And we were obedient with that. That was my prayer to him. Where do you want me to go? And I'll go. And then he laid this in our, he just said, this is what I want you to do. But I love y'all, church, and I do miss you. I just want you to know that. But we have much to do. As I said, we've not gained our full support yet. We're still out there on deputation while we're working wide open in the schools, okay? So we're not sitting around on Sunday and Wednesdays, okay, at the house and just recuperating from school. That's not what we're doing. We're out there. We're trying to get help in our churches where we got school doors open, okay? We're asking all these churches. We're begging them, just asking God's direction. God, show us where our volunteers are. Show us where our teachers are, that they can go in there. And we're being blessed in some areas. Avery County's getting, there's a lot of doors opening there and a lot of help coming out of Avery County. We just thank the Lord for that. But we've also got counties where we don't have any help. Ashe, Wilkes, Johnson County, Tennessee. These places where we've got no help, and we're just asking God's guidance with all these. I think I've got everything I need to get out about the ministry. Mrs. Conrad, before I start in God's word, is there anything that I've forgotten that I need to tell them about? Yeah, we have no help in Watauga either. And we have no help in this county, yeah. Okay, all right. All right, if you've got your Bibles with me tonight, I won't keep you long. We'll get out of here normal time, all right? Open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And I'm not going to have you stand at the reading of Scripture tonight, because I don't really have any Scripture to bring in with this. I mean, we're going to the Bible, don't get me wrong about that, but I don't have a specific piece of Scripture that I want to open with. We've already had prayer. I've already asked God. Y'all pray for me while I'm going through this, because I always pray for God's direction, that he bring out in his word what he wants brought out, okay? I don't want to stand up here and just run through a bunch of stuff and say, well, okay, now I'm done with it. There it is. But I want God's guidance. I always ask God guidance in the classrooms when I'm teaching. I want God to park me where I need to park. I want God to do that in the sermons, whenever we get into the Word of God. I want him to lay on my heart at that time what he wants me to bring out of the Word. So I do desire your prayers. I know my wife's praying for me. I already asked before we got here. I said, you keep praying for me, all right? Because I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this yet, but it's just keep praying for me, and we'll just ask that. I know somebody, this is for somebody here. We're going to be in the book of Ruth, and I'm just going to start in chapter 1. As I was going through this, I've been in the book of Ruth, and I've been up through, I've started in Samuel in my morning devotionals and my studies, but I keep going back to this when I was praying, God, what would you have me to bring to Mount Lebanon tonight? What would you have me to speak, preach about tonight? And I never really got an answer to prayers. It's like, Lord, what did you have me to preach tonight? What were we having to preach tonight? I never got a definitive answer with a lot of my prayers like that until I started asking, Lord, what would the church have tonight? What would the people in the church, what do they have a desire for tonight? And that's when God started really touching on things that I needed to bring out of his word tonight. So I know that this would be somebody for somebody here tonight. As we're looking in the book of Ruth, what was going on at this important period of time? In verse 1, it says, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land." When we back up and look at the book before, the book of Judges, the book of Joshua, Moses had died. They had come out of the 40 years in the wilderness. All the elders that had been hard-headed and abstinent and went against what God was telling them to do, in the 40 years in the wilderness, they had passed away, okay? The new generation had come through out of the 40 years, okay? And whenever the new all the elders had passed on, all of a sudden, they were out of the wilderness, okay? And then, after Moses passed on, he passed on the torch to Joshua, okay? And in Joshua's last pleading cry to the people, he was telling them to just, he was pleading with them. He kind of had a little pep rally there at the end of Joshua, and he was like, just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. Just follow. He was telling the people to follow after the Lord, okay? In the book of Judges, we're looking, and when we're coming up into Ruth, they are in the land of Canaan now, okay? They were in the promised land that had been promised to these Christians, okay? They had been, to the believers, these followers of God, they had been in the land of Canaan. But there was a warning that was issued to them, all right? Whenever we were looking back at the book of Joshua, Joshua had warned them, he's like, be careful. He said, all the remnants that you've taken over, all the cities, every land that you've taken over, be careful because there's still a remnant of the people that were there, okay? And he said, be careful because these were idol-worshiping people, all right? They weren't all seeking after God. There were still people that were seeking after idols in this land. And as we come up through the book of Judges, they were looking for a king in Israel. They had all the judges there that they went to with their problems, okay? The people that would judge them, help them with everything that they had decisions about. We don't know what to do. Help us, judges, okay? And in the end of the book of Judges, it says this, and it says it so many times back through here, from here back to when they left the wilderness, many times that in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. A very dangerous place to be. They did not look to the Lord. They did not have their eyes set on God. But every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. Okay? We live in the same place today. Okay? Those that don't have guidance in the churches, okay, they're just doing the best that they can. I think y'all will agree with me that when we see people out there, they're like, well, what do you base that on? Well, I'm just basing it on, if I survive it, that means it must be okay to do, you know. They don't have any moral standards that they're going back to. That's what we see so many times in these schools that we go into. Our young people don't have a clue what's going on, okay? The ones that are outside of church, they don't have any moral principles. We ask them, We know that God's laid out our moral ground rules for us in the Old Testament through the law that was laid down. It can't make us follow it, but what it does is it gives us a dividing line between right and wrong. We ask our young people, where do you get your morals from? They're like, oh, my parents. I say, where do they get it from? Oh, their grandparents. They have no idea that our moral principles came from God, that he laid them all out for us. And yet here in the book of Judges, it goes on to say that in those days there was no king in Israel. They were looking for a king. They were looking for somebody to reign over them and tell them what to do because they didn't want to do it on their own. You know what I mean? So here we are at the end of the book of Judges. Every man was doing that which is right in his own eyes. Now as we look up past Ruth and go to Samuel, we realize that in this book, then the people were crying, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And all of a sudden, they gave him Saul, okay? Samuel was talking to God, and God said, all right, give him one, all right? And we'll see what happens. And he told them before they did this what was going to happen when they gave him a king. But right before this, they put right here, smack dab in the middle of these two books, but right after they didn't have a king,
And right before they gave him a king, they stick the book of Ruth, okay? Now, I'm not going to get through this whole book tonight, but what I had to do was set the stage for what was going on here, because every man was doing right what was right in their own eyes. God had blessed them in the land of Canaan. God had put them in a place where he said, this is where I want you. And I can't find where he told them to leave right yet. Amen? He said, this is where I want you. Have you ever seen people that have prayed, God, where do I need to go to church? Where do I need to go to church at? And you know God led them to a place. It may have been you. And they go to a place and they say, well, it ain't got nothing for me. It just ain't got nothing for me. And then they look elsewhere. When you could tell it was the hand of God that put them there. Never told them to leave, okay? Or what about the person that prays for that job? Lord, just get me. Lead me where you want me to go. And the Lord lay on their heart what they want them to do. Go to a certain job and be there. And the Lord didn't tell them to leave. And they say, this is the worst job I ever had. I can't believe, I got to get out of this job. But the Lord didn't tell them to go anywhere, okay? This is similar to what they're dealing with here, okay? God told them to go to the land of Canaan. And all of a sudden, they're coming up against a little trial, okay? They're coming up against a little bit of inconvenience here. It was in case of a famine, and this what we're dealing with right here. Just a little one, okay? Because we're going to look and see what happens after that. But it, no matter what it is, people pray about things. They were doing it here. God, get us out of this wilderness. Get us to a place. Take us to the promised land. Take us to the land of Canaan. And they get there, and then all of a sudden this famine comes, and they're like, seriously? This is where you'd have us to be? But God didn't tell them to leave, okay? If God's told you to be somewhere to do something, okay, if he tells you to do it and you go do it, if it's a little bit inconvenient, don't leave it, okay? Don't go somewhere else, all right? I was looking at this and I was thinking to myself about the people that pray about where to go to church, and God puts them in a church and they're like, well, they ain't got nothing for the youngins. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe God puts you there to start something for the youngins. Amen. You know, whatever, if you're praying that God puts you somewhere, whatever it is, or he's telling you to do something, whatever it might be, don't complain about it when you get there, okay? Look for God's open door, what he wants you to do when you get there, okay? That's what happened with the land of Canaan. He just wanted them to stay there until he told them to leave. But a lot of times we'll just get in there and we'll be like, this is difficult. Well, I don't mean to ruffle any feathers, but God never said it was going to be easy, okay? He's got work for us to do. That's what labor is. It's a little bit of work, okay? That's what the whole book is we're supposed to keep our eyes on him and what he wants us to do while we're down here, okay? It's not what's the easiest thing for us in the flesh, because that may not necessarily be following his will, okay? Now, as we're going on, it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled, and all of a sudden there was a famine in the land. That little inconvenience that I was talking about. There was a little famine in the land. People were looking for food, okay? But can I tell you this? These people that were there, okay, I'll just go on. It says, and a certain man of Bethlehem went to sojourn in the country of Moab, okay? He and his wife and his two sons. Now, this name, the man's name was Elimelech, okay? Which means my God is king, okay, number one, all right? Now, his wife was also named Pleasant, all right? They ended up in a land, they're of the descent of, in verse number two, they were Ephrathites, which means they were fruitful in the land of Canaan, okay? Which, whenever we look at where they were at, the land of Canaan means to bread and praise, okay? They had everything there, okay? God said he'd provide for them, but he didn't tell them to leave. But this little thing came along, okay? It was a famine. And all of a sudden, they're looking around like, they got to this tough point, and they were like, I can't believe he told us to come here. Seriously, this is like them back in there in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, they told him, they saw, like, you know what? It looks good over there, but God never told him to move or do something different, okay? Go into the land of Canaan and stay there, okay? If God's told you to do something, you stay there until he tells you to leave, okay? But what they did was they started looking around at what looked good to their eyes, okay? Now, from what I see here, there was a famine in the land of Canaan, okay? They were needing a little bit of food, okay? They went, pulled up steak. From what I understand, they got rid of everything they had. Their land, their house, everything they had there in Canaan, whatever they had, their possessions, they pulled up and they moved to Moab, okay? Now, if you look at word up, Moab means desire, okay? They got their eyes off of him, and out of their fleshly desires, they moved on somewhere else. But God didn't tell them to go, okay? This is what felt good to them. This is what they decided on their own. They didn't have a time of prayer about it, okay? They didn't seek counsel on it. They were just like, you know what? It looks good down there. Let's just go and see what's going on down there, okay? Now, they didn't plan on getting out of the will of God for long, okay? Because in verse number 1, it says, they went there and they sojourned, okay? That word sojourn, it means that they weren't planning on staying long, okay? Just a short time. But as we read on down in the verses, as I'm getting ready to get to here in a minute, they ended up staying for a long time, okay? They got out of the will of God. They weren't seeking him. They got their eyes off him and on the things that were pleasing the flesh. They were looking this way on what made them feel good, and that's the way they started to go, okay? Out of the will of God, and they ended up getting stuck there, okay? Whenever they got down there, the name of this man was Elimelech, okay? And the name of his wife was Naomi. Now, you know this as the mother and father-in-law of Ruth, okay? I'm probably not going to get very far into Ruth's life in this, but I do want to bring out where God parked me on this was, and what I keep overlooking is Naomi. And God parked me on this today. We're looking at Naomi, Elimelech's wife. They pull up camp, and they head down to the land of desire, okay, Moab, because they think there might be something better for them down there, okay, but they didn't consult God about it, okay. They just left. Now, they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there, okay. Now, remember I said that they plan on sojourning there. Just go down, get a little bite to eat maybe, see what's going on, and then come back real quick, and no harm, no foul. Out of the will of God, okay? They got their eyes off of him, and they couldn't get it back on him until something happened in their life, okay? What happened next was Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had died, okay? And all of a sudden, she's left there with her two sons, okay? Something tragic is happening. Now, I ain't gonna stand up here and tell you that bad things are gonna happen to you for getting out of the will of God. Can I say I'm thankful for God's grace? Amen? I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace. He will chasten, he will correct us, but I ain't saying it's gonna go this far, okay? But this is just what happened to her. This may have been what had to happen to this lady to get her to turn back around and get her eyes back on God. And we're going to see that in just a minute. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had died, and she was left her and her two sons, okay? Verse 4 says, and they took them wives, the women of Moab. When I say they got their eyes off God, I didn't just say that to be saying it to make it sound interesting. If you look back in Deuteronomy 23:3, God strictly forbids that his people take wives or partner up, live with the people of Moab, okay? It was a direct commandment of God. He was like, no, don't do it. We go to the New Testament and say, it goes along with being yoked up with unbelievers, okay? One's going to pull one the other way. He said, I don't want to have any part of this. I don't want you intermingling with these people, okay? I don't want that with the people of Moab. And what did the two sons do? They were like, man, them girls sure are pretty. Let's go get us some wives out of there. What do you think, brother? And they went down there and they got them wives out of there, okay? They didn't go back to the land of Canaan to do this, but remember now, they sojourned. They just went down there for a little bit out of the will of God, okay? Whatever it is. And isn't that usually the way it usually happens whenever people get out of the will of God? They maybe start missing, a service here. They're like, well, I got to work Wednesday night. I can't make it to church, you know. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's Sunday and we're missing. And there's several things that can bring people out of this, but it's definitely by their choice, okay, to be out of the will of God. And it don't take long before, once these people start getting out of the will of God, just like what we see here, I ain't going to do it forever. I just got to cover for this one guy. And then they start realizing maybe, well, you know, golly gee, I made an extra $80 for working for him that Sunday. I wonder if I ought to do it again. And you know, before long, people are out of the will of God, and it's going to pull them out longer and longer and longer, okay? Here's something that had to happen to get these people turned back around. It was a bad thing, I'm telling you. Because not only did she lose her husband, but after her two sons went and took the wives out of Moab, the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other one was Ruth. This is where Ruth comes in. And now, remember what I told you about them sojourning there? Sojourn means just a short period of time. Verse 5. The last part of verse 4. After they took them wives, one was Orpah, the other one Ruth, and they dwelt there. And it says how long? 10 years out of the will of God. God never told them to leave Canaan. They had a little test. They had a little trial. Going got a little tough, okay? And all of a sudden, instead of fixing their eyes on him, saying, Lord, just help us, they were just like, man, that looks good over there. Let's go that way. And they got out of the will of God. What they thought was a short period of time, but it ended up being 10 years, okay, that they were out of the will of God. Then all of a sudden, Naomi lost both of her sons. They died. Times got real hard, okay? It wasn't getting any better. And all of a sudden, Mahlon and Chilion, they died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So now she's there, and she's alone with her stepdaughters. And that's it, okay? Bad times. But something happened. She got out of the will of God. Times got hard. Let me say it again. I'm thankful for the grace of God, okay? Because I want you to look what she did next. Verse 6. Then Naomi arose. She just got up. What am I doing here? Need to go back there and get my eyes back on God, okay? And that's what she said. She got up, she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She's like, what am I doing here? I need to get my eyes back on God, get out of this place, get back into the will of God. What I was saying about thankful for his grace and his mercy, he's always there with open arms. Amen. He's always there to take his children back in. Willingly, openly. Amen. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab, they even heard down there, that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. If they'd have just stuck it out and stayed in the will of God, the famine was gone, okay? God was providing food for those that stuck with him, okay? He just going through a little period there, a little dry spell, a little rough spot, a little bump in the road, but the ones that stuck it out, and all of a sudden, now word's getting out. God's taking care of his people up in Canaan. And Naomi hears this and says, you know what? I've been here long enough. I've lost everything I've had, but I'm going to get myself up, and I'm going to get my eyes back on God. I'm going to get back in the will of God. So she leaves from Moab, and she had heard. And can I tell you this? I'm thankful for messengers. The man came down there to the city of Moab and had to tell them, you know what? God's good. Amen. God's good to those people that will follow him. And all of a sudden, Naomi gets word of this. Now, all of a sudden, I think somebody else hears about this too, because this is where Ruth starts to make a turn. Okay? Verse 7, when she went forth out of that place where she was, she had to make a turn too. She had to leave Moab, that pleasurable place, that place that fed the flesh, that felt good, that you know, was just out of the will of God, but it sure did feel good. She left that place. She turned her back on that place and headed back
set her eyes back on God, and went back towards Canaan with God and his people, okay? Wherefore, she went out of the place where she was, her and her two daughters with her, on the way to return to the land of Judah. Now, something happens here. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go and return to your mother's house, and the Lord kindly deal with thee, as ye have dealt with me, have dealt with the dead and with me. See, it was tradition here in this time that in Moab, if they came out of there from their families to marry Naomi's sons, okay? Law was, if you lost your husband back then, that you should go back to your kinsmen and marry somebody out of your family, okay? Either one, your husband's brother or somebody had his family and remarry to them. You had that privilege if you wanted to, okay? This is what she was telling them. She said, go to return to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And she said that the Lord may grant you that you may find rest in each of you in the house of your husband. And she kissed him and lifted up her voice and wept. And what it goes on to say here is that she told these young people, these young ladies, she said, go back and find you some husbands. She said, I can't provide any more children for you to marry, okay? But can I say this? Where there's a good Christian person to lead, there's always going to be those that are going to follow. Amen. We need some good leaders out there, okay? We need good people that will take the hand of youngsters like this one here and just say, you know what? I'm just going to follow God. Y'all come with me? Let me show you what the church has got over there. Let me tell you about my Jesus. We need messengers and we need good godly people like Naomi that just turned and had somebody with them that just saw them follow God and just wanted to go with them, okay? Because people are going to follow something. Why don't they just follow people that can lead them towards God and not lead them into the world? And that's what I liked about Naomi here is that she turned, but that she was a good leader because she's like, you know what? We're going to see here. She tried to get her daughters to go back and to get other husbands. She's like, that's the least thing I could do. And probably in the back of her mind, too, she was maybe thinking, you know what, bringing a Moabite back into the land of Canaan, that's probably no good idea because I remember what God told me now back in the olden days. But all of a sudden, after she gets done telling them that it's their right to go back, she's thinking about this. Naomi turned, and she started going back. What I understand from the scripture, she was already part of the way back where she told her daughters, y'all need to go. Just go back to Moab. Go find you some husbands. Go raise you a family. I can't produce any more kids for you to marry into. Look at me, I'm old. But Naomi does something here. And this is why I said we need some good leaders out there. She tried to talk him into going back. Verse 14 in chapter 1. They lifted up their voice, and they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But it says, but Ruth clave to her. She clave to Naomi. I was looking up that word. I was like, what in the world does clave mean? I had an idea it was to hang on to, but I didn't know what it really, really meant. It meant that, have y'all ever seen, those of you that garden here, have you ever seen a dirt clod in the garden? And you'll hit that thing with a rake and with a shovel. You hit it with a shovel and you'll just like slice it in two, then you got two clots that you can't do nothing with. That's what clave means. It means that Ruth had clung on to Naomi so tight that it was like one of the clods of dirt. You can't bust it apart. It's just there. That's the way she was onto Naomi. Ruth is one of them that's just hanging on saying, there's something out there. There's something there in the land of Canaan, and I want to find out what it is. I heard about that messenger that came down and said, you know what? God's feeding his people. Verse 14 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And verse 15, she says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. Orpah went, and she left. She's like, I'm out of here.
I'm going back to my people. Okay. Instead of following God, she chose the other way. And we never hear of her again in the Bible. Okay. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, behold, thy sister is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. See, they were idol worshipers, okay? They didn't worship the one true God. They had their eyes on many, many gods, many, many idols, things of the world. And she said, you return thou now after thy sister. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. She said, please don't make me go. She said, it's my choice. And she said, I don't want to go. She said, for whether thou goest, she's like, and I like this part, I will go after God's people. Amen. She says, wherever thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God will be my God. I was like, amen. She latched onto Ruth. She saw something there. God touched her heart. And now all of a sudden, she's like, I won't follow. So they both start heading back. She said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. But I like that. She said, I'm just stuck right there. She said, whether thou goest, I will go. If God's telling you to do something, God's telling you to go do something, go do it. Amen. If he's put something on your heart to go do, he'll take care of you. I promise you he will. If he's laying it on your heart, get that burden off there and just go do it, all right? He tells us up many times up in the New Testament, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, he'll always provide for us if we follow him, okay? I've not read anything where he said he's just going to leave us hanging high and dry. I mean, we read back here just a few verses ago, they were in the land of Canaan, had it all, the land of milk and honey, you know, everything's perfect in the land of Canaan, and all of a sudden there's a famine. But God didn't leave them. It was just a little dry spell because he said in verse 6 that all of a sudden they had sent a messenger and now God's feeding his people, okay? He's always going to take care of us no matter what we do for him. If it's for him, he'll always take care of us, amen? Ruth said, don't make me go. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord so do to me and more also, if it ought be death part thee and me. She just wanted a hold of God and wanted a hold of God's people. Amen. He's called us out to be an assembly together. Well, three times, sometimes two times a week. All right? Be around God's people. Get around them. It will help you, even when we're outside of church. Now, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her.
Sometimes it takes some courage to follow God. That's what steadfastness means. It ain't always easy, okay? People are going to look at us funny. People are going to laugh at us funny. They'll be like, I can't believe you still doing that? You still locked into that? And it takes courage sometimes. But God's faithful, amen? He'll always help us out no matter what. He'll always pull us through no matter what, okay?
God tells us, I've got something marked. Through all the temptations we might be facing in our life, if we keep our eyes on him, he'll always, always provide for us. And what I was looking at, what I always bring to our young people, we all deal with these temptations. We have them. We're in the world. We live in fleshly bodies, okay? We got temptations. We got things that we fight all the time, things that come up to us and that tempt us. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation you but such as is common to man. There's stuff out there, and everybody knows that there's temptations out there. They're common to man, but God is faithful. Amen. It says, but God is faithful, who will not, it says, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Okay? It takes courage. But every temptation that we come up against, everything that comes up against us, God will, he won't let us suffer above that we're able to be. But he will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that they may be able to deal with it. To beat it. Bear it is the word he uses there. She's steadfastly minded to go with her. And then Naomi just says, you know what? That's fine. You just come with me. She said that she was courageous, steadfastly clave unto her, that she would not leave her. Now, I don't have time to get into the rest of what happens with Ruth, but what I liked was that there was a turning, okay? Naomi's family were in the land of Canaan, okay? They had it made. They were following God. Something came up, a little test, a little trial, and they got their eyes off God for a little while. What they thought was a little while ended up being a long time, okay? They came back to God, all right? Everybody's gone but Naomi and Ruth. Oprah goes back to Moab, and it's just the two of them. Naomi turned from backsliding. She turned from, it may have been something little that she'd just done, that she'd just gotten in a rut and couldn't get away from. I don't know what it is. But she turned back to God. And in the process, the one that she was trying to get to go back to where she was from, she was like, let's just wipe the slate clean, just start over. I'm going back home. You go back home. We're just going to start over. And Ruth says, I ain't going back. I've seen a glimpse of the good side. I've seen a glimpse of God through you, through something, through that messenger. I don't know where. God touched your heart, and all of a sudden, great things start to happen to this young lady named Ruth, okay? You're going to have to read the rest of it for yourself. Glean off this book, because there is so much that happens to those that turn and serve God. When you read the book of Ruth, Ruth found her field of service, all right? Boaz, Lord of the harvest, she's serving in his field, okay? She found a place of service. She turned from Moab, from the things that she was so used to, that she was brought up with. Ruth turned from that and sought the Lord of the harvest. She found shelter through the Lord of the harvest when she turned from her, from when she turned from Moab, when she turned from the land of desire, okay? She feasted with the Lord of the harvest. He fed her, okay? The book has got such... I wish I could break this into like four parts and just come and preach all of it together. I mean, it's just a wonderful example of what happens for people that put their eyes on God and don't take them off. God will provide everything for you. He'll provide the place to serve. He'll provide what you're supposed to be doing. He'll give you shelter. He'll provide your food for you. It's all right there. God provided it all for this one young lady. I was talking to a young lady today. She was with us over at Mountain Youth Academy. And she'd been with us. She was a college student. And she'd been with us over there today. And she was, we knew she probably hadn't eaten because she just came from class. So we took her out and got her, ate dinner with her, and just started talking to her. And Miss Connor and I just wanted to talk to her and just get to know her a little bit. But she's had such a testimony of... Well, let's put it this way. When I got back in the car with Mrs. Conrad, I said, that's almost like what the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight. It was somebody that had their eyes set on God. Well, I'm just waiting for, God did this for me, and I thought I was going to go this way, and God turned my heart this way, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll just follow you this way. And then he took me out of that. I thought I wanted to do this, and the Lord said, no, I'd like for you to do this. He said, so I'm going this way with that. And I'm like, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with her later on down the road. I was like, it's going to be one of those things where when somebody's latched onto God like that, you can't wait to see what's going to happen to them. Just trying to follow God as much as they can. And I know God's going to do great things with anybody that just latches on and follows him. Y'all know my testimony. And I ain't bragging on myself. I'm just saying if the Lord can use a wretch like me, he can use anybody and provide for them, okay? But y'all know my testimony. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't do a lot of things that I was supposed to be doing growing up. Out of the will of God was, that's putting it mildly, more like rebelling against God whenever I was growing up. You know, thought I was too good to be saved, prideful. And then once I finally got to that point, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. I got to the point where first of all, I need to be saved. And God brought me to the point. Well, he didn't bring me to the point. I put myself in so much trouble that I got myself to a point that I knew that God and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, believing on Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the resurrection, and him paying that atonement on Calvary's cross was the only way that I was going to turn things around. That was step one. And then I coasted for 20 years until I got called to preach. I waited too long, but it's never too late. Amen. I just wish I could go back and give him another 20 years. I do. I'm thankful for what he's letting me do now. But what I'm saying to you tonight is it don't matter how old you are. Latch on to God and run with him. Amen. He'll do great things for you and with you. And in the process, you might be able to be like Naomi and just drag somebody with you. And you might bring up a Ruth or a Randy, you know. Randy's in the Bible, but hey, we got guys that can do it too. Amen. Great things can happen if you just latch onto him and run with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for getting me through here and giving me things just to, that were hopefully your words, Lord. That's what I pray, Father. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that everybody here, Lord, just latch onto you and run with you. Lord, I could just praise you all night for what you've done in our lives, my life and Miss Sharon's life, for what I've seen you do in other people's lives that just run up with you. Lord, what we see here in Ruth, how you provided everything for her when she just latched onto you and just ran with you and did what she did what you wanted her to do. Lord, I pray that there's people like that here tonight, Lord, within the sound of these words tonight, Lord, that somebody would just take a hold of you and just run with you, Father. Lord, I sure do love you. I want to thank you for everything you've done for us. Jesus, thank you for what you paid for us on Calvary. Thank you for what you're going to do for us in the future. And Lord, I pray that you just watch over us, keep us strong this week, Lord, and let us be the witnesses for you that we need to be, soul winners that we need to be. Father, we thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.